Would you be shocked if you saw somebody raised from the dead right in front of you? You know, if you are, that's an indication of how hardened your heart has become to God. That's what we're talking about today, and I think this will really help you. So stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. So I was sharing that if you would be shocked to see a supernatural miracle from God manifest right in front of your eyes, then that means that you are more accustomed to the natural realm than you are to the supernatural realm. That would mean that you are more natural than you are supernatural. And you know what? If there wasn't a God who has given us His Holy Spirit and has enabled us and told us things like John chapter 14, verse 12, where it says, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father." If that wasn't the normal Christian life, if Mark chapter 16, verse 17, where it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink any deadly thing. They shall speak with new tongues." I messed up the order of that, but hopefully they put that on the screen. But anyway, these supernatural occurrences, if that wasn't the normal for the Christian, well, then it would be correct for us to be shocked, overwhelmed, surprised to see God's intervention in our life. But because God is alive, because He has promised us that we can do the same things that He did, that these signs will follow them that believe. If since that is the normal Christian life, did you know what? It shouldn't surprise a believer to see God intervene, to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open, miracles to happen. You shouldn't get to where you take it for granted. You ought to always be blessed by it. You ought to always rejoice and praise God for the awesome things He does. But it should get to where it's not a big deal in the sense that it is surprising, shocking to you. You ought to get to where you live in the supernatural more than you live in the natural. And that's what these scriptures are saying in Mark chapter 6, verse 51 and 52. The reason the disciples were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered to see Jesus walk on the very thing that was about to kill them was because they had a hardened heart, because they responded to the natural realm and they lived in the natural realm more than they lived in the supernatural realm. Being in the supernatural was strange to them. It was uncomfortable to them. And you know what? It shouldn't be that way. We ought to get to where we live in a natural world, but we aren't of this natural world. To where we dwell in the presence of God, that we have God's power manifest in our life to such a degree that when we see a visible, physical manifestation, a miracle right in front of our eyes, it shouldn't surprise any of us. And yet, I'll have to be honest with you, I don't live in the supernatural realm as much as I should. I still am shocked sometimes at the things that the Lord does. I remember an instance in Omaha, Nebraska, where I was the one ministering. I called out things through the gifts of the Spirit, and I remember that I called out somebody had crossed eyes and that God was going to straighten their eyes. And a little boy came up who was about 11 or 12 years old. And this boy had eyes that were so crossed. I mean, his eyes were just totally crossed. Matter of fact, he had such bad vision because of this that he had to have somebody, I forget who it was, help him to the front and kind of guide him where he was going because his eyes were so crossed, he couldn't see properly. And so anyway, I was praying and I put my hands on his eyes. I commanded those eyes to become straight and to open. And I was getting ready to tell him, now don't you be discouraged if you don't see instant manifestation. Sometimes, you know, it's the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, Mark 16, 18. And I was going to tell him that the power of God has come into you. Your eyes are going to straighten up. If it doesn't happen immediately, you just stand in faith. I was getting ready to help him to try and stand on this thing. And as soon as I took my hands off and as soon as I opened up my eyes and looked at him, His eyes were perfect. And I mean, prior to that time, they were totally crossed. They were perfect, instantly perfect. Man, it was so supernatural. I was believing for him to be healed, but I believed that it would happen gradually. I don't know why. I guess I don't know why. It's just what I was expecting. But I didn't expect to see a perfect, instant manifestation of this healing. And you know what happened? When I opened up my eyes and I saw his eyes were looking at me perfectly straight, you know what I did? This great faith man of God, I looked at him and I said, I don't believe it. Wrong thing to say. Stupid thing to say. Here I was believing for his healing. I'm the one that God spoke it to. I called it out. I prayed for him. I was believing for a healing, and when it happened instantaneously, it shocked me. I was amazed. I was believing for healing, but not a real supernatural, instantaneous healing. I was believing for a gradual, progressive healing. And when I saw it, I said, I don't believe it. And you know what happened? The moment I said that, that guy's eyes, that little boy's eyes, instantly crossed again. And man, I repented. I said, God, I'm sorry for expressing my unbelief. I asked God to forgive me. I prayed over this guy for another 5 or 10 minutes or whatever. I never did see his eyes go back straight again. I mean, here I am, a minister of the gospel, praying for somebody. And when I saw an instantaneous manifestation, you know what? It revealed how much unbelief I had in my heart. It revealed how uncomfortable I was with seeing just supernatural things happen. Now, lest some of you get hard on me, I believe it would probably be the same with all of us. You know, a friend of mine, Dave Duell, tells a story about one time he ministered in a full gospel businessman's meeting, and I can't remember the details, so I'm not even going to try and give them because I know I'll mess this story up. But he, anyway, spoke, and then he started praying for people, and he saw somebody, I forgot what it was right now, but a supernatural healing. Miraculous healing, something that was visible, not just an internal organ, but some kind of a visible manifestation of God's healing power. And when it happened, I mean, the whole place just fell quiet. There was total silence. Dave was shocked to see what had happened. I mean, it was a powerful display of God's power. And all of a sudden, he just spoke out to the group. He says, you know what this does? He says, seeing the miraculous power of God like this reveals how much unbelief we have in our heart. And so he said, I want all of you that right now see unbelief and that you have been operating in unbelief, I want you to step forward and I'm going to pray for you. And he said the entire audience, hundreds of people, all of them stepped forward. I mean, they all saw this instant manifestation, but instead of it being just erupting in praise, you know what it did? It really revealed how much unbelief they had because people were shocked. People were stunned. You know, many of you may have trouble accepting this, but I really believe it's true that we have fallen so far from what God intended for us to be. And sometimes we get to comparing ourselves among ourselves, and we go to a church, you know, that's a dead church. This same guy, Dave Duell, tells a story about being in a church that was so dead that a guy died. They called 911 and they carried out half of the audience before they found the dead person. Now, that's a dead church. Amen. Many of us go to places like that where it is dead, dead, dead. And we get to comparing ourselves among ourselves and we look around and everybody seems to be having the same problems that we're having. They're struggling with the same things that we struggle with. And we just kind of somehow or another look and take an average. And as long as we're close to the average dead person, lifeless, defeated person, we think, well, we're normal. But you know what? God made Christians to be supernatural, not normal. Matter of fact, I often say it this way, if you aren't supernatural, you're superficial. God intended for us to walk in such a degree that like the apostles, Peter, he would walk by and his shadow would fall on people and they would be instantly raised up. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Miracle after miracle happened. That is the normal Christian life. That isn't just for a few super saints. God intended for us to live at a level of miraculous intervention and power in our lives, not only for us, but through us to other people, that most of us are light years short of that. And you know what? We look around and we see the average Christian. Matter of fact, there's probably people right on this network or this station that you're watching me on or listening to me on radio that'll be coming along preaching that God doesn't do miracles today. It's not God's will to heal, that God's the one that makes you sick. And they counter everything. There is a large segment of the body of Christ that believes that really there is no visible proof of God in our lives other than emotional type of things and a confidence and a security about a future existence in heaven. But they believe that right now in this life, we struggle. We have the same defeats, the same failures, the same fears as anybody else. They don't preach a victorious living. There's a large segment of Christianity that preaches that. And because of it, many of us have just kind of settled into being average like everybody else. We are living so far below the standards that if something was to happen like happened here in the Bible where Jesus came walking on top of a raging storm, just totally in control, you would be sore amazed in yourself beyond measure. You would wonder just like the disciples were in Mark 6:51. And that would be an indication, just like the Bible says in Mark 6:52, that you have a hardened heart. Having a hardened heart is just being more sensitive to the natural realm than you are to God and the supernatural realm. Being more used to it, being more dominated by these carnal things than you are by spiritual things. That's what a hardened heart is. And you know what? That's a problem, a malady that affects every one of us in some area of our life. I'm going to continue to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about how bad this crisis is. Then we're going to talk about what is it that causes us to be this way. And once you understand what causes your heart to become hardened, you can reverse this process to where you actually become sensitive to God and hardened towards the devil. Man, that's wonderful. So I encourage you to stay tuned. Join us again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth. And also listen to our announcer. And please take advantage of the materials that we're offering on hardness of heart.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a four-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK57 titled The Crisis when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.